the reason why baseball is either loved or hated. You really have a baseball anything when it comes to it. Like, some people think that baseball is the most exciting thing in the world, and other people think that it's the most boring game in the world, and that there's nothing more boring. The reason why it's so polarizing and losing its popularity in the U.S. is because there's a chachma behind it, that either you get it or you don't get it. It's one of the two. See, if you understand the chachma behind what's supposed to go on in a baseball game, then you understand that the pitchers are trying to psych out the batters, and the batters are trying to psych out the pitchers. That the pitcher, throwing whatever pitch he is, if the batter always knows it's going to be a fastball, any batter who's in the major leagues is going to be able to catch up with a 95-mile-an-hour fastball and be able to hit it out of the park. If the pitcher is going to throw a curveball in there, or a slider, or some type of a sinker, in which the guy is expecting a fastball, but he gets a sinker or something like that, he was just psyched out. He's ready for that fastball swinging ahead when all of a sudden the ball doesn't go the way it's supposed to go. An off-speed pitch, a regular pitch, which is 65 to 70 miles an hour, which any major leaguer, if they saw it coming, they'd be able to throw it. That thing should go 700 feet. But because they're so used to hitting a fastball, you see those foul balls go up everywhere. See, that's a real duel. You think a person who doesn't know baseball will look at a batter fouling off pitch after pitch after pitch after pitch and will think, this is the most boring thing in the world. You can't foul yourself out, so what's the point? Why do they keep allowing this to happen? But the answer is because that's the whole duel. That's what the pitcher is trying to do one thing, the batter is trying to do another thing. They're fighting against each other, and there's a concept of what's happening every time. See, it's more than just the regular. Every fielder, if you understand it correctly, is it's their own quarterback. You have to know where to stand for every pitch, because it makes a difference when the ball's going 180 miles an hour on the ground or in the air. You got to know where to stand. You can't just take a guess and be 3 feet from second base and assume that the ball's going to come to you. You have to know where these players usually hit the ball. The coaching that's involved in baseball is usually involved in putting players in positions to succeed. We know that this guy normally hits off right-handed pitching into the right field corner. So we move the right fielder over a little bit to where if that normally would have been a double for any other player, that would have been a double. For this guy, he hit right into the fielder. The fielder happens to be right there. Sometimes the fielders are up expecting a bunt. Sometimes the fielders are back. There's a whole chachma, a system, that if you know what's going on, you can look at any game and you sit there and you realize it. See, most people have never heard of this chachma before. Most people don't think that it even exists. So they look at a baseball game, they're bored out of their minds, and they think, whatever, let's just go on already. Let's just do it. Because that's the way you play softball. You play softball, you throw the ball up in the air, you just try to hit the ball, and that's that. But these guys are professionals. These guys can... That doesn't do anything for them. That's not what they're doing. It's everything like that. And then people sit there, they see the in-between pitches, the stoppages that are there. They don't realize football has more stoppages than a baseball game. Basketball in the last 3 minutes could last 45 minutes. The last 3 minutes of any game, if you keep fouling and you keep fouling, keep fouling. But it's different because they think that they understand basketball or they think they understand football. But baseball, it's just the chokhmah isn't there. Analyzation, the time process, the thought process behind it, there's time to reflect in between. That they don't understand, and therefore baseball is polarizing. It's one or the other. It's not like anything else. I feel like tefillah is the exact same way. Davening is completely and utterly polarizing. You either love it or you hate it. There's no one that likes it, that they're just okay with it. You either love it, and you know what you're doing, and you're involved because you understand there's a chokhmah behind it, and there's something there. Or you're just doing it because you feel like you have to. But if you had any choice in the world, if somebody would get up, Rav Chaim Kanievsky would get up, and he'd clap on the bima, and he'd say, from now on, no one has to daven. Just daven if you want to daven. You'd have people throwing their hats up in the sky, kippahs up in the sky. They'd jump up in joy, and they'd be like, yes, I've been waiting for this forever. See, it's totally and utterly polarizing. Totally and utterly polarizing. So what's pshat? You can even tell, just looking up and seeing when people are davening, just looking, you can see people are walking around aimlessly as if there's somewhere to go when there's really nowhere to go. Phantom texts, when you feel like maybe someone just texted me at 7:30 in the morning. No, no one texted me. I'm okay. The people that are just sitting there, sort of like playing a game, looking for something to do, because they've got nothing to do. Nothing. See, Tefillah is like this. The constant bathroom breaks. If anybody's seen the constant bathroom breaks. Now, granted, there is a legitimacy to going to the bathroom a couple times during Tefillah on a one-time basis. But the constant bathroom breaks that are during Tefillah, for some reason, those bathroom breaks do not exist in any other time of life where you're perfectly fine. You should have been able to go to the bathroom before when you wake up in the morning. You should be able to get through 45 minutes of davening without having to go to the bathroom. But if you have an excuse to go, well, Chazal say that even if you have to go within 72 minutes, you should go to the bathroom. So they'll use that as an excuse to be able to get up and to be able to get out and everything like that. I don't mean to put people down when it comes to this. It's not what I'm trying to do over here. But if you understood what it was, which we don't, then Tefillah would be a totally different case. The world would be completely different. Psukkot Zimra wouldn't be torture. Psukkot Zimra would not be that, I wonder what I can skip and get away with, and I'll still be able to get there on time. It wouldn't be that way. Psukkot Zimra, you realize what you're doing. You sit there and you realize what I'm saying over here. You realize that barely anyone says Korbanos. We're not Sephardim. So barely anyone says Korbanos, which are Chiyuvim. There are Chiyuvim involved in Korbanos. Let alone the regular brachos, let alone there's a reason why Adon Olam and Yigdal and Matovu are all written in the beginning of your siddur for you to do them as well. But they're skipped. The Sheish Zechiros at the end of your siddur, the Animamins, which may go into Yigdal. I mean, there's reasons why these things are put in there. It's not just filler. I can promise that. They're not just filler. It's not just things that they're throwing in there to make the siddur longer. If they can make a siddur shorter, they would make a siddur shorter. They're there. Shema is a deal raisa, according to all Shitos, as long as you woke up before 9, which that is not a guarantee. If you have Shema, it's a deal raisa. Every word has to be said. Every letter has to be pronounced correctly. If it's not pronounced correctly and you're not saying the words correctly, you weren't yotze, your chiyuv aseh, your aseh of saying Kriya Shema every morning and Kriya Shema every evening. So when I see a person finishing Kriya Shema in 25 seconds, I say impossible that he just got that mitzvah. There's no way. There's no way that he got that mitzvah. When I hear some people reading Stam and then I think that they're doing Shema, there's no way he did that correctly. No way. It's a deoraisa. We're dealing with a regular mitzvah, just like wearing tzitzis, just like putting on tefillin. It's the same thing to say Kriya Shema. Same thing to say those words exactly as it is. Now, I don't want to make you OCD, and I don't want to make you go through your Shema and say, Shema. That I don't want you to do. I want you to think about it, though, and to say, if I spend less than, let's say, 90 seconds on Shema, I probably have not said all the words. Reverend Friedman is an unbelievably quick Shema sayer. Compares it to the Rosh Yeshivas and Rebbeim that I've been around. The Rosh Yeshiva is unbelievably quick when it comes to saying Shema. If you're saying at the same pace as him, you're great. If you're saying it quicker than him, there's something you got to work on. Because again, it's Shema. This is not like anything else. Everything else is a little bit different. You messed up a little bit, okay, you didn't get the Durabana maybe. This is a deal right that's there. But that's that. But I know that there are a few things that plague us when we're down. A few things. It's not just one thing. If it was just one thing, maybe you'd be able to get over it. It's possible. But there are a few things that plague us when it comes to our davening. Number one, the minion is too slow. That I'm going too quick and the minion is too slow. I understand that completely. Number two, added tefillos that you weren't necessarily expecting, like Bahab. When a Bahab comes in, that throws off the whole year of tefillos. And you get something and you get in there and you're expecting the tefillah to be done quicker, and all of a sudden there's Bahab and a Bahu Rakum thrown in there as well. You get a Bahu Rakum that's added on. The only thing we're missing is the Avinu Malkeinus, and if you're in a minute that does say the Avinu Malkeinus on Bahab because you have enough people fasting, that is just the worst of the worst. The worst of the worst, and I can see what you're saying with that. Tachnun, in and of itself. I mean, Tachnun, the amount of simcha that you have when you're not saying it should be enough to never say Tachnun for the rest of your lives. A day when you're not saying Tachnun, it's the opposite. It's not that on a yomtiv you don't say Tachnun. It's that when you don't say Tachnun, it's a yomtiv. It's the exact opposite. You're so happy. You can see the faces. Everybody's clapping each other on the back. Everybody's high-fiving everyone. It's like balloons going off in the air when there's no Tachnun. Because Tachnun. And number four, I don't think anyone really understands what the words mean. And I mean, from my point of view, a 34-year-old who has been davening most of his life, 34-year-old, I have no idea what many of the words mean. And I don't mean translation-wise. For that, you could just grab an art scroll in the back. Well, not those guys. The art scrolls in the back and look up what the words mean. Just look it up and you can see the words. They're right there. So I can tell you, I get how to translate. I could translate the words of Mashlich Karpo Kefitim. I could go through Vayvarch David. I can understand little bits. I can understand the words of Shimon Asra. But what does it mean? What does it really mean? What's going on here? See, it's one thing to read an English paragraph. It's another thing to comprehend what the English paragraph is telling you. To go through Ashrei and go through the words in English, that I get, I understand it there, but I don't get it. So even when you do read it, and even when you do translate, even when you know what it's saying, you're still not getting it. And at 34, I still don't fully get it. And that's what makes tefillah really hard. I can't answer the minion is too slow for you. I can't answer you what's going to happen when we have Bahab. I can't answer you, Tom. I can give you little bits and pieces. I can help you with that. But I think I might be able to help with the tefillah translations then. I think that might be a little bit there. Now, I'm not a posik. I'm not going to poskim when it comes to things like this. I can give you aces, though. If you really have no clue what you're saying, I have no idea what the heck there is to say it in Hebrew. I don't know what in the world you're doing. See, Birkas Kriyashma and Shimon Asrei have to be done in Hebrew. That's based on the Mishnah Berurah. Even then, there are those that are makel to say Birkas Kriyashma, and Shimon Asrei in English. And I hear that. But Psuki de Zimra, if you don't know what you're saying, say it in English. Say it in English. Whatever you have in that art scroll. I can't understand why it would be otherwise. I tell my kids to do this all the time. Because one of my kids really likes davening. Another kid doesn't like davening as much. So I tell them, the one that likes davening, so daven. The one that doesn't like davening so much, so read it in English. Now, art scroll is not a great English. It's not a ye old English with the E at the end of the word old. It's not like that. But nonetheless, it is not a great English translation because it doesn't exactly tell you what's going on. It really is. It's confusing to read it through. But nonetheless, it's better than nothing. On Yom Kippur, I know that people don't do this. On Yom Kippur, when you're going through the korbanos, you're going through all the korbanos of what happens and what the Kohen Gadol does and the whole process. All those words, one after the other, you have 9 pages in a row when you're reading them all the way through and turning the pages. Read them in English. What are you doing it in Hebrew for? By Slichos, when you have no clue what's going on, and you're sitting there and you're looking at Slichos, and you're trying to make yourself feel what the day is, what Asar B'Tevis is, what Shivas B'Tamuz is, what Tisha B'Av is, what the Hab is, read it in English. What does it say? What are we saying? If you're reading in Hebrew and you get nothing, I don't understand. What are you doing? Why are you doing that to yourself? Why are you suffering? There's no need to do that. I'm not a posik. You should ask a posik on this. What should I do if I'm not understanding my davening and I want to understand my davening? Should I say Psukah de Zimra in English? They might tell you come a little bit early. If you can't do that, for whatever reason, you're having a hard time getting up as is, so say it in English. I don't know why it's not Mefursim more often. I don't know why people don't say it. Maybe they're afraid to be able to make that psak because they're afraid of saying it in English. But I don't understand it. I don't understand it. It should be set out so that people know it because it's a straight out Gemara and Sota, and it's straight out Shulchan Aruch and straight out Mishnah Berurah. The only time they're matmir is Birkas Kriyashma Shimon Asrei. And even then there are kulas for it. Learn what you're saying. Build up your skills. Get to the point when you're reading it in Hebrew and you know what the English is because you've read it through 25 times, and we all know we're better at memorizing that stuff. Get to the point where you're able to say it and you don't have any problems with it. That's one thing. But I also agree that the English is usually not enough. You gotta know. You gotta know what things are saying. And that's really, really difficult, and that takes work. That's just not reading. That takes a little bit of work outside of your davening time. I don't have a great answer for this, but I feel like if you want to get it, then you're going to have to put forth the effort. If you really want to get it, most of Psukei de Zimra is Tehillim. Most of it, not all of it. Hodu is not. Hodu are excerpts from Tehillim, excerpts from Shmuel Beis more specifically, right? And there are parts. Az Yashir obviously is in the Chumash, and that's something from the Chumash. Vayivarach David, Becharosim Olbris. We're talking about Nehemiah. That's one of Daniel's tefillas is in there. So I understand there are parts that are not. But if you want to understand Mizmor Lasoda, most of Yichavod, going through Ashrei, the Halukas, right? If you want to go through, time to learn them, to really learn them, and to really sit down and try to understand what are they trying to say, what are they saying. So I'm going to start for right now. I'm going to start with something, and I want to go from there. Mizmor Shir Chanukasa Bayis L'David. Start from that Mizmor. Mizmor Shir Chanukasa Bayis L'David. What does that mean? See, if you look at an article, the translation is, a song was sung by David, right, at the consecration of the house. What house? What's it referring to? When did he say this? And when did he consecrate a house? So David Melech did have a palace, but this is specifically referring to the Beis HaMikdash. When David Melech bought the area from Arvana Hayavusi, and he used it as the future site of the Beis HaMikdash, and he dug a foundation, and that foundation was dug to eventually allow Shlomo Melech to build the Beis HaMikdash, that David himself was not allowed to build the Beis HaMikdash. But when he knew that Shlomo Melech would build a Beis HaMikdash in this area that he bought from Arvana Yebusi, he made a song. And that song was going to be used to praise Hashem from bringing him where he was to where he is now. What I was beforehand to where I am right now. What did he say? And why do we set up our Psukei de Zimra with this? Arumimcha Hashem ki bili soni. I thank you, Hashem, because you brought me out from the depths. I was down. I had troubles. I was running away from Shaul HaMelech, and I couldn't get out of it. And I didn't know how I was going to get out of it. Shaul HaMelech and his army was surrounding me time after time after time again. But you did not allow my enemies to capture me. You didn't allow them to become happy when they saw me. You didn't allow it to happen. Hashem Elokai Shivati Elecha V'Tirpa'eni. Hashem, my God, what I did was I davened to you, and you allowed me to get what I needed to get out of my enemy's hands. You did everything I needed in order to get out. Hashem Elisa Min Sha'ol Nafshi. You brought my soul out of Gehenna, meaning you took it out of the depths of Gehenna of Sha'ol and Allah trying to capture him, and you were able to save him. Chisani Mior Devor. You let me live instead of being thrown down into the pit like Shaul HaMelech wanted me to do. And he's done with Shaul HaMelech. Zamru Hashem Chasidav V'Hodu L'Zecher Kodesho. Therefore, because I saw what you were able to do, anyone who's a chassid, anyone who understands God's plan in this world, should sing out loud and say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu what you're able to do. Ki Regabapo, because when God gets angry at you, even if you did something wrong, it lasts a second. Chayim Bertzono. People live and die by His command. Whatever Hashem wants, goes. But Erev Yelim Bechi, Bla Bokerina. A person can go to sleep crying, can go to sleep so upset, and he puts his soul, gives his soul back to his maker, as if he destroyed his soul, and it comes back in the morning, and he's happy. He can wake up in the morning, and it's all gone. All his troubles, all his problems, everything he has, he can wake up in the morning, and he'll feel fine, and he has no idea what happens. That's what a person can do. Vani Amarti. And I said to myself, David Melech said, Bishalvi, when things were going well, when things were not bad, I said to myself at those times, Balamot Lola, nothing's ever going to happen that's bad. God, stay out. I can take care of this by myself. I don't need you. Balamot Lola, I'm never going to fail ever. Hashem Bersonko. But Hashem, I know it's through you. Hamadato Lahariyos. You allowed, you stood me up on top of my mountain. You're the one who gave me strength. You're the one who's in charge over here. And therefore, he starts upon Echa. If you hide your face, if you decide not to listen to me, if I decide that I don't need you, Hayisi Nivol, then I'm going to die. I'm going to be scared. I'm going to be petrified. I'm going to die. Elecha Hashem Akrad. Therefore, I always need to daven to you, good times and bad times. Elashem Akonan, and my prayers will be sent over to you. Ma'bet to the gami. Because God, what's the point in killing me? Does my blood, the fact that I die, is that going to give you any profit? Beridati el shachas, the fact that I go down to the depths of Gehenna, hayot chafor, is the dirt that I'm going to be sitting in, is that going to thank you? Hayagir amitefa, will it be able to tell you anything good that you've done? I hope you get the basic idea of where Dovid HaMelech is going with this. The reason we start this way is because this is every single person. You think, when you get brought down, you thank God for taking you out. And then when things are good, you just forget about it. It says Dovid HaMelech. Remember at all times, every chassid should say this. And we do. Every chassid here, who davens every morning, says these words. And they say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in your hands. You can do good to us, you can do bad to us. And I know it's all you. It's not me. I can't do anything at all. We end by saying, Afachta mispidid al-maholi. Allow my misfade, allow my eulogies to become mafuli, the things that I always worried about, the things that I was always upset about, the bad things, allow that to be a reason to dance. Allow me to realize that that was a reason for going up. My downfall was in order to bring me even further up. Pitachta saki, you took away my sackcloth, the kazreini simcha. You allowed me to be surrounded, girded with simcha, that I'm always happy because I realize how you come to help me. Lamani is a miracle kavod v'lo yido, so that my soul should sing to you, never be silent, always, always to be able to daven and thank you and talk to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem Elokai l'olam odeka, I can't stop thanking you no matter what. That's what you're saying. See, the wording, the actual wording, may look a little bit different, but the message has to be clear. And that's what you have to do. You all have taken reading comprehension tests at some point in your life. You may have failed them. It's possible. You may have done really badly on them. I don't know your SAT scores, although I could probably find them out. I don't know your ACT scores. I could probably find that out also. But reading comprehension, if you're looking through davening, find a theme. What are you trying to say? What's the bracha about in Shmona Esrei? What's it about? I know it's refuah and rofei cholim. What's it about? What are you saying? What's the wording? What's the doubling up? Why are we saying both Rifa'inu and Hoshienu? What's the point of that? I want us to think, not just say it, not just daven it up. Think about it. What's the point behind all this? And that's really the problem. You want it to be like baseball? Well, you gotta pay attention a little bit. You gotta actually do a little bit of work. Otherwise, baseball to you is just the most boring sport in the world. But you won't realize the chokmah behind it. You'll never realize, you'll never get what those people love about baseball. You can't even argue it. You can't argue the point. There's nothing to talk about. But if you want to understand davening, if you want to understand what it really is, then you have to go into it. You're gonna have to spend a little bit of time. Look at those paragraphs. And for now, I would say, look at the English, but find a posuk. Find a posuk to say that. Read it through. And say to yourself, what am I doing? Because you can't fix anything. I can make you wake up every single day. I can make you take out a sitter every day. I can make you put on tefillin every single day. But I can't make you like it. The only person who's going to make it like it is you. And you're either going to love it or hate it. You will not like it. It's never going to be that way. So understand it. Get to the point where it's better. It's not just that. It's better. It's something that you want to do. You want to get up in the morning. Lord, a Kaddish Baruch would say, if Rav Chaim Kanievsky would get up and say, don't daven anymore, you would say, no, I'm going to. Even if it's optional, I'm going to. Or if you suddenly, I shouldn't say it this way, if you were a girl, you'd want to daven. Even if you were a girl. Say it. Say it like you mean it. Have that davening there. I can't force it. I can tell you you're missing out on a lot. And I'm not close to being there yet. But I love it in my own way. And I'm telling you you're missing out on a lot. Because you have no idea yet what you're missing. No idea. I'm going to end off with one time. I'm not even going to end off with this mashal. I think you all know the mashal. You can go to the Kotel, and you can be impressed by big stones and big walls. And you could sit there and you could cry and you could have those feelings. But so many people go to the Kotel and they don't get it. And the people that get it turn to the people who don't get it and they say, what's wrong with you? And the people who don't get it turn to the people who get it and say, we don't know what you're seeing over here. And they just, there's no way to explain it. It's either you get it or you don't. Either the Kotel means something to you or it doesn't. You can't explain that to other people. you're going to have to start working on something. Start realizing what you're missing. Otherwise, you're going to be missing a lot. And that's sad. And you don't want that. We'll stop with that.